I was just asked by Linda, she said, who's preaching today? The answer is nobody, because today is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We pray for Christians around the world who are facing persecution because of their faith. It's a beautiful and hard and somber day to pray on their behalf. So we're going to look at four different countries and pray for them together. So I'm grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you're going to enter in with us. And we're going to begin by reciting a psalm that I think will help get our hearts in the right place. So will you stand? We're going to do this in a call and response fashion. It's going to say leader and people. I'm going to be the leader for this, and you're going to be the people, okay? So this is from Psalm 78. It says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. And you say, we will not hide his works from our children, but tell the coming generation the glorious deeds. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, that the next generation, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of his hand, but keep his commandments. We remember for the faithfulness of God in days past. We call upon his mercy. Let us not be like those whose hearts were not steadfast, but let us be a people prepared to trust and obey. God, I pray that we would do that we would be a people ready to trust you and follow you, God, wherever you may lead us. And today, God, you have led us to pray on behalf of our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are persecuted. So, God, we will do that faithfully with great trust in you. Before we worship, will you please greet those around you and then stay standing and we'll sing together.
I was reading the board.
Stories I'll live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again.
out. You're constant, I've witnessed it, and I'm confident I'll see it again and again. You love and I witnessed it. You heal and I witnessed it. You save and I witnessed it, and I'm confident I'll see it again and again. You're good and I'm witnessed it. You're strong and I'm witnessed it. You're constant, I'm witnessed it. And I'm confident I'll see it again and again. You love and I'm witnessed it. You heal and I'm witnessed it. You save and I'm witnessed it. Your faithfulness, I've seen you bring life with it. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy.
Church, that we can openly and proudly and safely say that you are our King. God, we lift up our voices today as we see across the globe that that is not how it is for everyone else. God, we lift them up in our prayers because you are faithful to us, God. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it.
Amen. You can be seated, friends.
Jesus said, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Persecution is as real for the church today as it was for Jesus' first followers. Every day, millions of Christians pay the price of witnessing for Christ. And these are the top 10 countries where faith costs the most. Number 10, Afghanistan. With the Taliban checking people's phones for Bible apps and Christian messages, believers risk arrest, interrogation, and even death. At number 9, Iran. Simin hosted a secret house church, until one day police raided her home and arrested her. She had to flee the country to protect her family. Pakistan is at number 8. Christians live in fear of lies and mob violence. Lazar, a 73-year-old Christian, was falsely accused of blasphemy. His home and business were destroyed. Brutally beaten, he died from his injuries. Number 7, Nigeria. According to Open Doors research, more Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Attack survivors run for their lives. Millions are displaced, enduring desperate conditions, unable to return home. At number 6, Eritrea. Christian leader Paulos knows he could be arrested at any moment. Eritrean prisons are notoriously brutal, and many Christians do not survive. Sudan is at number 5. In this war-torn country, more than 100 churches have been attacked, and believers have been abducted and killed. Christians who are displaced often face discrimination when aid is given out. At number 4 is Libya. In Libya, converting to Christianity can cost you your life. Anyone leaving Islam risks violent pressure from their families and communities to renounce their new faith. Christians are kidnapped and even killed. Yemen is number 3 on the list. There are only a few brave Yemeni Christians. Zara used to work alongside another believer to disciple secret Christians until he was murdered by extremists. But despite death threats, she carries on. Number 2, Somalia. All Somalis are expected to be Muslims. Step away from that path and you pay a high price. Christian converts are violently targeted by community, the authorities, and jihadists. And at number 1, North Korea. Still the most dangerous country in which to be a Christian. Having escaped this prison nation and found freedom in Christ, Ju Min made an incredibly brave decision. She would return to North Korea and share her newfound faith. If she's discovered, she could be sent to a labor camp or even killed on the spot. More than 380 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. That's 1 in 7 believers worldwide. Each day, they bear witness to the light and life that is found in Jesus Christ. But the risks are great, and the price is high. For 70 years, Open Doors has supported our persecuted church family with crucial aid, Bibles, training, and long-term care. Your prayers, your gifts, your voice can bring hope to believers in places where witnessing to Christ costs everything. Discover more at opendoorsuk.org.
Thanks so much for joining us for worship today. It's obviously a little bit of a different program than we normally do on a Sunday morning, but every year we come together with churches around the world that pray either on the first Sunday or the second Sunday of November for the life of the believers who are in persecution around the world. And so today we're going to spend some time talking about that. We're going to spend some time praying. We're going to spend some time remembering the faithfulness of God in the lives of people and for his gospel. As you read through the New Testament, so many times suffering, especially when we think about it from a Western version, we think about suffering being about the brokenness of the world and the things that we have to endure. And so we interpret the scriptures based on kind of our understanding of what suffering is. But if you make your way through the New Testament, almost all of the passages about suffering have to do not with just the brokenness of the world, but with the suffering that came about in the first century for your faith. So when Jesus was talking to disciples and saying, you're going to enter into a world where people are going to treat you terribly, and you're going to be flogged, and you're going to be brought before the leaders, and you're going to be imprisoned and maybe even killed, he was saying, this is an act of persecution, and persecution is part of your discipleship. In 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us that as the body of Christ, because we are connected, when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. And that's true related to the pains of the world, the brokenness of sin, the relationships that tear apart, the cancer that hits, or the financial ruin that takes place. We're still suffering together, but the context of that was when people were getting persecuted for their faith. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're reminded that we're supposed to remember those who are in prison, which I think is a really important thing for the church to be engaged in prison ministry. It's a massive part of people's coming to faith in a very difficult situation. But the context of that wasn't for prison in general necessarily, even though I think it applies to that, but it was to remember the people who are in prison for their faith. And so today we're going to do that. That top 10 world watch list, there's actually 50 countries on it, and we're going to spend time with four of those countries. The first one is Nigeria, number 7 on the world watch list. As it said during the video, of the 4,500 people who have died as Christians this past year, 3,100 of them have been citizens or living in Nigeria. So that means almost 70% of the Christians who've been killed for their faith in the last year were killed in Nigeria. Nigeria also is experiencing a terrible assault and victimization of people. Most of the time it's men getting killed and women and children being abducted and assaulted. And it's a dangerous place to live in northern Nigeria, the most dangerous place for Christians in many ways in the world. And so today we're going to pray for Nigeria. And here's how we're going to pray. There are 229 million people. 50% almost of those people are Christians. Most of those Christians live in the south. The ones who live in the north are experiencing this kind of persecution. But we're going to pray for those Christians whose loved ones have been killed or abducted. Pray that God will work in the hearts of Nigerian leaders to protect Christian citizens and communities. Pray for the millions of Christians and others who have been displaced by the violence. And also, very important to remember that someone today in this moment who's suffering persecution someplace in the world that we're praying for would feel our prayers and be encouraged or protected from an experience even as we pray for the next hour. Because people around the world are being persecuted right now. And so how we're going to do that is a lot of different ways. For Nigeria, what we're going to ask is that if a few of you would stand where you are and pray some of these prayers, and as you stand, please face as many of the people in the congregation as you can. And if two or three of you would lead us that way now, I'll close us in just a minute. Let's pray for Nigeria.
Traumatized in various ways, and also just want to pray for our government to just recognize the significance of the trials that Christians and other members of the country are going through, and just pray for change in the heart of the leadership, change in the heart of members of the country, and that through all of this, your name will be glorified, God, in Jesus' name. Change the hearts and let my Islamic Nigerian brothers
sisters across this world that are persecuted right now. I ask that your holy angels surround them, Lord. If they're in a cell, that you would protect them, Lord, that you would be a mighty force against the enemies that try to destroy, discourage, and hurt, Lord. I just ask that you would just stir in our hearts, Lord, right now in this moment, that we can be mindful of those hurting, our brothers and sisters hurting all across this land, Lord. May we not walk away today and forget. May you prompt our hearts always to remember them. I just pray, Lord, that someone right now in this moment feels our prayers and knows that we are thinking of them and we are praying for them, that we love them, and we are so amazed at their faith. Lord, thank you for them. And we just ask that you would just put your protection around them right now. In the blood of Jesus, Lord.
Thank you, God, that you're in charge of everything, and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our next country is Cuba.
Cuando una persona nace en un ambiente de persecución y toda tu vida has estado viviendo bajo ese ambiente y aceptas a Cristo como tu Salvador, sabes que la persecución para ti va a ser, pudiéramos decir, un reto más a enfrentar. Tuve la oportunidad de pastorear varias regiones de mi país y cada una de ellas tuvo trabajo, sus desafíos también. Toda medida que el gobierno aprueba, por lo general, va en contra de los principios bíblicos. Y es ahí entonces donde surge este conflicto. Un conflicto que ha venido teniendo entre la luz y las tinieblas, porque la iglesia se levanta como luz. Y es por esa razón que el gobierno desea silenciar la voz de la iglesia. Tuve la oportunidad de pastorear una iglesia en la cual se nos amenazó que iban a confiscar la iglesia, nos la iban a quitar, porque es así. El gobierno permite que se pueda dar cultos en las salas de las casas. Entonces un hermano vio la posibilidad de que tuvieran ese local ahí de reunión, solo que la membresía comenzó a crecer. Ya la sala queda chiquita. Entonces, ¿qué haces? Hay lugares como el pastor que comenzó así siendo una casa y se fueron rompiendo las paredes de la casa porque la iglesia comenzó a crecer y se llegó a tener todo el espacio de la casa como culto, como templo, como casa, porque ya no había un lugar en el que había pasado, sino que todo era la iglesia. Y es cuando comienzan las amenazas de que nos iban a confiscar el lugar. ¿Por qué? Porque ellos dicen, no es porque dan culto, sino es porque ustedes han hecho modificaciones en la vivienda. Allí comenzó realmente una persecución e interrogatorios en la vivienda y muchas amenazas. Te sientes muchas veces con temor. Te sientes muchas veces nervioso y con esa responsabilidad que Dios te entregó esa casa en tus manos, que si la pierdes, la iglesia del Señor, se está perdiendo el local de la iglesia que Dios te entregó. Pero Dios se manifestó de una manera maravillosa. Estábamos en casa cuando llegó alguien con un abogado para ayudarnos con los trámites legales sin que tuviéramos que pagar nada, porque no teníamos dinero. La estrategia de intimidación es una de las mayores que ellos usan. Ellos llegan a tal momento a intimidar tanto al pastor a través de interrogatorios, citaciones y amenazas para el gobierno. De tal a tal manera que el pastor llega un momento a sentir miedo y temor, no solamente por él, sino también por su familia, porque las amenazas también son continuas. Ellos logran de que el pastor o salga del país, o hay otros que no, que han decidido continuar en el país y muchos terminan presos. Pero sé que hay muchos pastores más que han demolido el templo o han pasado por situaciones difíciles, pero no han dejado de predicar. Le han demolido el templo, pero se han congregado aún debajo de una mata. Ese ha sido su templo. Ese ha sido su culto y Dios ha hecho cosas maravillosas.
We're going to pray for Cuba in just a minute, but Cuba is number 26. On the watch list, and actually steadily moving up in spots on the watch list. In fact, just a couple years ago, they were 37. In 2022, they were number 37, and now they're up to the spot of 26 as a result of pressure and persecution towards the church. The government is a communist government, and so they see the church as an opposition of them and want to prevent the growth of spreading the gospel. And as a result, they actually prevent churches from registering so that they are worshiping illegally, so that they can arrest the pastors and prevent, in their eyes, the church from going. But I hope that you caught something in that video. And that was, the church is rising as the light. And that is true. In fact, in Cuba, 60% of its population are Christians. And so God is moving, and they, as the persecution grows, the church is growing. And so there are some ways that we can pray for the church and for the leaders of the church in Cuba, and they're on the screen. And so now, if you would take some time to read over these prayer requests, praying for our pastors in Cuba, our brothers and sisters there, for the people that are oppressing them, that they would come to see and receive the love of Jesus. Will you do that privately and quietly now? Spend some time in the presence of the Lord on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Cuba.
Let's stand and sing this together.
Oh, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, here walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief. A man of sorrow, son of suffering. Oh, blood and tears, how can it be that there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds? Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you grace, and the broken you embrace. And in the end the proof is in your wound. Yes, in the end the proof is in.
Sometimes the children are there, our innocent babies are there, and some mothers are there. So sometimes we are running like this, sometimes we are crying, and you know, we are running because of shooting on the way. Sometimes we are running days, sometimes we are running the whole week, searching for safety and survival.
The brutal civil war in Myanmar continues to rage on with no end in sight. Civilians have been bearing the brunt of the violence, many subjected to horrific attacks, killings, and mass displacement.
Whenever we run on the forest, in the forest, you know, we just make this type of pipeline, and we just cover, and then we are staying inside. And if they saw, they see it, they will bomb it again. Behind, there's a lot of bombing are still going on. But at the first time, there's no water, and there's no food, and the children are crying, you know, and they want to eat, they want to drink, but there's nothing. As humanly speaking, you know, sometimes we feel that God is not with us. Unlike the monastery, they always targeted and attacked the Christian churches. Due to the situation of this Myanmar, my church members are scattering everywhere. There's no phone line, and there's no internet access. To the pastor, we feel very lonely because we are away from the people, and the church members are coming down in their spiritual life, and they're mentally, even spiritually and physically. At the same time, the pastor is very difficult to visit them, because if we go outside, anything and any time at any place, bombing and shooting can happen. Being a pastor in this town is very challenging and lots of difficulties. There is a God that can do everything. God is showing us that He is with us, and He is still sustaining us. They motivate us with the Word of God, and how to even keep the children, how to encourage others, how to help people who are suffering. Seeing all those godly friends remind us that, oh, we have still a friend who are praying for us. That is our strength, so that we can move on and serve. We want to cry out. Sometimes, you know, we want to give up. But all those things encourage us to keep on moving and serving to the Lord. Lord, this is your people that you have given me to lead out of from this danger. So please be with us, and please help us to live for you and share your glory.
So Myanmar is number 13 on the World Watch List, and the country is predominantly Buddhist, and about 8% of the population are Christian. Since the military coup in early 2021, there's been an ongoing civil war within the country. In the past 12 months, much of that unrest and civil war has been taking place in regions of the country that are heavily populated by Christian believers. And in turn, they're experiencing an increase in levels of persecutions, destruction of churches, while many of the Buddhist monasteries stay untouched. Even prior to the military coup in 2021, Myanmar was already a country that was heavily persecuted from the government down. Had a friend who was going in regularly and would go in for weeks at a time to train house church leaders to give them a theological framework for how do they lead these house churches. And even in that, they had to meet secretly and really underground to avoid arrest and additional persecution in that. So here's how we can pray for Myanmar. One, we can pray that the Christians continue to endure in the midst of what's been going on now approaching 5 years, which is an incredibly long time to be living in this just daily unrest. Two is that we can pray for the Christians caught in the conflict, that they would be peacemakers between the military and the rebel groups. And three, we can pray that the leaders of Myanmar's military will see that Jesus is the true source of joy and hope. Pray with me. Father, we come to you. And God, we know that nothing is out of your reach. Nothing is beyond you. And then God, even in Myanmar, God, you are there. God, you are working. You are moving. And so God, we pray for endurance for our brothers and sisters. God, we pray that they would be reminded again and again, even as they sleep right now, that you are with them. That you are enough. God, that you are still good despite what they are living in. Father, we pray for the opportunity for the brothers and sisters in Christ to be the peacemakers between the rebel groups and the military. God, that you would use Christ followers, your people, as the peacemakers to bring peace in this country in the midst of unrest. And Father, we pray for the leaders of the military and these rebel groups to come to know true eternal life in Jesus. That their lives would be transformed by the gospel. And because of that and through that, that in Myanmar the gospel would spread, that it would be contagious, and that a nation would be changed, Father, because of you. That no one would be able to explain what has happened in Myanmar, the transformation, Lord, that we're asking for, and the only answer would be, but God. So, Father, we ask for that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, because in that name there is power. Amen.
اسمي ياسين وأنا مؤمن بيسوع المسيح. اخترت عدم إظهار وجهي لأنه قد يعرضني أنا وعائلتي للخطر إذا تم التعرف علينا. لقد قضيت فترة طويلة من الزمن أذهب بها إلى الجامع وأستمع إلى الملالي، وهذا كان متوقعا من قبل أصدقائي في القرية حيث كنا نتنافس على الذهاب إلى الجامع، ولكن كانت هذه مجرد عادة وليست عبادة حقيقية. لقد كنت أتجادل مع الله كثيرا، قلت له يا رب إذا كنت فعلا موجود أنا لا أريد أن أخطئ، أريد أن أحيا معك، أطلب منك أن تظهر نفسك لي. بعد مرور سنتين من الطلب المستمر بدأت أقلل من ذهابي إلى الجامع، وقلت مرة ثانية يا الله إذا كنت حقيقيا أرني علامة، أريد أن أحيا معك. في أحد الأيام وبينما كنت نائما رأيت حلما، حيث رأيت شخصا قادما نحوي لا أستطيع أن أصف جماله. وضع يده على رأسي وقال أنت ولدي الحبيب، هذا هو الطريق، اتبعني.
حكيت صديق المستمع عن الحلم، قال لي إنه من الشيطان، ولكن في قلبي عرفت أنه ليس من الشيطان. كان لي صديق مسيحي في القرية وكان قريب جدا من والدي. ذهبت إليه وأخبرته عن الحلم. قال لي أستطيع أن أشرحه لك، هذا هو الله يظهر نفسه لك. أول مرة قرأت الكتاب المقدس بكيت بسبب الكلمات الجميلة الموجودة فيه. النص الأول الذي قرأته كان إنجيل متى الإصحاح الخامس عندما أعطى يسوع الموعظة على الجبل. لقد غطيت عنوان الكتاب المقدس بشريط لاصق، كنت أقرأه كثيرا في البيت وأولادي لم يعرفوا ما هو هذا الكتاب، لكن عندما بدأ سلوكي بالتغيير سألوني لماذا تغيرت. قلت لهم لأنني أقرأ الكتاب المقدس، وكان هذا بمثابة صدمة لعائلتي. قالت زوجتي الله سوف يحرق بيتنا بسبب هذا. في أحد الأيام أخي جاء لزيارتي، أخبره الملا أنني كنت أقوم بتوزيع الأناجيل وأنه يجب أن يمنعني. قام أخي بمحاولة قتلي عدة مرات. لقد قاموا برمي قنابل نارية على بيتي وتركوا رسالة تهديد مكتوب فيها إذا لم تترك الديانة المسيحية سوف أقتلك. عندما ذهبت إلى الكنيسة قاموا بمساعدتي لأصبح مبشرا. تلقيت تدريب حتى أنمو في الإيمان وتلقيت الدعم هناك. يسوع بنفسه قال الخراف تعرف صوت راعيها. الكنيسة هي صوت الرب والرب أعطى الكنيسة لنا. يسوع أيضا يقول ومن يختار هذا العالم والحياة يخسر حياته، ولكن إن تخليت عن حياتك من أجلي تنال الحياة الأبدية. ولهذا السبب يسوع أصبح أهم شيء بالنسبة لي. وكنت أشعر كأنني خروف في وسط ذئاب، لأن الناس لا يعاملوننا بشكل جيد بعد الآن، لا يتكلمون معنا، وعندما نخرج من البيت يهينوننا. لكنني أعلم أن الرب لديه مهمة لي لأجلب البشرة السارة إلى قريتي. جربت عدة مرات أن أغادر، لكن الرب وضع في قلبي البقاء. أعلم أنه يريد أن يستخدمني هناك.
Yazin's story this morning has caused me to think of the Old Testament prophet Jonah, an Israelite prophet, and God called Jonah to go where? To the city of Nineveh. Y'all are good. That was loud. The city of Nineveh, which was the capital at that time of the region known as Assyria, which happens to be modern-day Iraq. Nineveh today is in the northern part of Iraq, where the very few Christians that are there, that's where they live. Now, back in Jonah's day, God called him to go there to warn them of their wickedness and of God's wrath and of his judgment. And Yazin has such courage to stay, to be the voice of Christ right there. Man, it's powerful. There are 47 million people living in Iraq and just under 200,000 followers of Christ. Again, I said they live more toward the northern part of Iraq. They don't live in large cities like Baghdad anymore. It's 17 right now on the World Watch List. We used to pray for Iraq years ago, and it was in the top 10. So we hope and pray that there is movement here among these believers. But still, there is great persecution, violent persecution. It's very difficult for them. So there's ways that we're going to pray today. You can see this. ISIS came in about 10 years ago, took over parts of northern Iraq, and Christians are now starting to go back home. So we want to pray for them. When ISIS did attack, the Christians there faced a lot of difficulty, and there was trauma. And so different organizations are going in to help those who are in the trauma. So we want to pray for those as well, the organizations going in, for those who are hurting. And we also want to pray for more believers, that the under 200,000, we'd be praying for this, and in a few years we'd see 400,000 and 500,000. God can redeem the land of Assyria that has been so wicked for so long. And the way we're going to ask you to do this now is we're going to ask you to get into groups of 2, 3, 4, and to pray out loud with one another as directed on the screen as the Spirit leads you to pray. If this is not comfortable for you, you don't have to participate. You can sit quietly and pray quietly. So if you break up into groups, and in a few minutes, I'll bring us back and we'll worship Jesus together.
There is a day coming when the old will pass away, every wrong will be made right, no darkness, no night, the sun will light the way. There is a king coming, one who conquered death and grave. No more pain and no more sorrow. This hope for tomorrow is our hope for today. He who was, he who is, he who was.
We do.
creation groaning. It is. There's a new creation coming. It is. It's the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. Jesus. It is. It's good that we remind ourselves. Anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Of all blessing and honor and glory, is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves. He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does.
Is anyone worthy?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal? Open the scroll, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave.
From every people
and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom, a priest to God, to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of him?
Yes, he is. You are Lord.
You know, all morning I've been thinking about how I love the freedom that we live in here in this country, and how we get an opportunity to worship freely is really awesome. And yet, I spend a lot of time worried about that freedom. And what's strange about that freedom is it doesn't seem as vibrant as, at least faith doesn't seem as vibrant in places that are free as in places that are in bondage. You know, about 100 years ago, there was a communist revolution that began in China. And at that time, there were less than 1 million Christians. And today, the estimates in China alone are somewhere between 38 million and 44 million Christians, all within the most complex, most targeted, most intentional and strategic persecution. You know, it's said in that song that we don't have to worry that the darkness will hold back the light, because the light breaks through the darkness. And while I believe that that we have, as people, a right to worship God freely, it doesn't always bring what we think it does. There's something about the gospel that moves in the midst of bondage, that moves in the midst of being trying to be held back, and it's true around the world. We're seeing people come to Christ everywhere in massive numbers, and that's beautiful, and we're grateful. And God is moving. He is. Thanks so much for joining in worship with us today. And that, if you'd like to find out more about how you can be involved in International Day of Prayer, making it not just a day, but part of your life, you can text IDOP to 903-494-7731. You can also join us at our all-church prayer time on Thursday at morning, afternoons, 12 to 12:45 in the Commons, or the chapel in the lower Commons, where we will be continuing this on a regular basis, at least part of the prayer time being for the persecuted church around the world. Thank you so much for joining in and doing something that makes a difference right now for believers who are suffering and enduring persecution right now. Now I just have one housekeeping thing before we go. Our Grace Espanol campus has a special gathering in this room in the next few minutes. And so if you wouldn't mind taking your conversations to the Commons and out, we can get this room turned over. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your Sunday.